नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 24। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज दी हम्स गुह्य प्रेयर्स। न यस्य सख्यम पुरुषो वैति सख्युः, स यस्य सख्यम पुरुषो वैति सख्युः, सखा वसन संवसतः पुरेस्मिन् गुणो यथा गुणिनो व्यक्त दृष्टे तस्मै महेशाय नमस्करोमि। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। एज द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स form, taste, touch, smell and sound cannot understand how the senses perceive them, so the conditioned soul, although residing in his body along with the super soul, cannot understand how the supreme spiritual person, the master of the material creation, directs his senses. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the supreme person who is the supreme controller. Purport. The individual soul and the super soul live together within the body. This is confirmed in the Upanishads by the analogy that two friendly birds live in one tree. One bird eating the fruit of the tree and the other simply witnessing and directing. Although the individual living being who is compared to the bird that is eating, is sitting with his friend the super soul, the individual living being cannot see him. Actually, the super soul is directing the working of his senses in the enjoyment of sense objects. But as the sense objects cannot see the senses, the conditioned soul cannot see the directing soul. The conditioned soul has desires and the supreme soul fulfills them. But the conditioned soul is unable to see the super soul. Thus, Prajapati Daksha offers his obeisances to the super soul. The super soul, even though unable to see him. Another example given is that although ordinary citizens work under the direction of the government, they cannot understand how they are being governed or what the government is. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verse from the Skanda Puran: Yatha Rajyam Priyatvam Tu Bhritya Vedena Chatmanaha Tatha Jivona Yat Sakhyam Veti Tasme Namostute. As the various servants in the department, different departments of big establishment, cannot see the supreme managing director under whom they are working, the conditioned soul cannot see the supreme friend sitting within their bodies. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto the supreme who is invisible to our material eyes. So Daksha Prajapati is offering his prayers to the Supreme Lord, and the reason for these prayers we will study in the future. Daksha Prajapati, being Prajapati, he had his devotional service to perform, that to populate the entire creation, and therefore as the right decision he was trying to contemplate and perform austerities to please the Supreme Lord. And he was requesting the Supreme Lord to empower Daksha Prajapati. And the Lord, we will read in the future, was very much satisfied with Daksha Prajapati. He appeared and he blessed Daksha Prajapati to perform his service. So in this prayer, Daksha Prajapati is discussing the relationship of the body with the soul and the soul's relationship with the super soul. In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purports that there are the three things. One is devotional service to the Supreme Lord, and there is a knowledge about the soul, and there is vairagya towards sense gratification. Daksha Prajapati is talking about, you know, the concept of knowledge. One may have the sentiments about the Supreme Lord, but as long as he does not understand or make a distinction between the body and the soul, soul and a super soul, then his devotional service is not paripakva, it is not completely matured. Or on the other hand, one may have knowledge. This is like a jnana yoga, wherein you have the knowledge of the soul, you have the knowledge of the super soul, you distinguish yourself from the body, but you lack devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is also not complete. So one may have both. One may have devotion to the Lord. Of course, devotion also involves natural consequences of detachment. Apparently, one may have devotion to the Lord, one may have the knowledge of the soul and super soul, but still one may continue to act on the bodily platform. That is also not complete. If one has devotional service or one has faith in the Supreme Lord, but he continues to act on the bodily platform, then the mode of passion and the ignorance, they still prevail. And they allow a person to make a wrong judgment. We study in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Daksha Prajapati made the mistake of misunderstanding Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was his own son-in-law, and Daksha Prajapati offended. And we will see in the future also. Daksha Prajapati, after offering the prayers, satisfying the Supreme Lord, Lord appeared to him, Lord congratulated him, Lord gave him the power to procreate. So that became the service of Daksha Prajapati. Unless a living entity receives the material body, sometime one may wonder why Daksha Prajapati, who is expert in procreation, you know, what is so great about it? But unless there is a material body for the living entity which is lying in the undifferentiated Brahman for billions of years, not having the facilities to perform any activity, requires a material body to attain spiritual perfection. This was spoken by Shukracharya to Bali Maharaj. He said, body is like a tree. And what is the benefit of the tree? Unless there are fruits of the tree, if you cut off the tree, then you don't derive fruits from that tree. So this body has to be maintained. So Daksha Prajapati is rendering very important service. He is allowing unlimited conditioned souls. Krishna is making Daksha Prajapati as an instrument. And through him is allowing so many living entities to come to this material world. And by the help of the Vedic literature, understand what is the utility of this human form of life. Very important service. Daksha Prajapati, you know, he recognized it. He understood the vision of the Lord. He is willing to be instrument of the Lord. And then, unfortunately, we see when Narad Muni came there with a higher service, just like Daksha Prajapati was given service by the Lord, even Sripad Narad Muni was also given some service by the Lord. Allowing the living entities to come to this material world is good. Vedic literature, they are good. But unless there is an active association of a saintly person, the living entities do not make that strong commitment to practice devotional service. It is one thing to understand the philosophy. Greater than that, even to desire that I want to attain perfection, that is also good. But unless one implements through the help of the saintly person, one continue to maintain that desire, but that desire never fructifies. Somebody told that story. There were three frogs sitting on the edge of the well. And one of the frog decided to jump in the well. They asked this question, how many frogs remain? Some say two. But the point is, desiring and doing it, there is a big difference. So mathematics is that three frogs remain on the edge of the well. So therefore, even though the living entity has been given that facility, Daksha Prajapati is doing that service, unless the Lord gives another higher service to another greater devotee of the Lord, the benefit of coming to this material world is not realized. The living entity has to continue going into many, many species of life. So Narandani comes there, Daksha procreates, and he sends them to perform tapasya with the intention of they helping Daksha Prajapati to procreate more living entities with a greater intensity, with greater speed. But Narad Muni says, this is not good. Why you should get entangled in this whole concept? Better you go back to the spiritual world. And he gives them the higher understanding of the spiritual world or spiritual realization. And they accept it and they practice it and they never come back home to help Daksha Prajapati. And this kind of conflict will always exist in the life of devotees. You know, usually when we see this happen, that the immediate outburst is that he is stopping me from performing my devotional service. He is playing politics with me. Why? Because our vision is only my service. Our vision is not all pervading. So unfortunately, Daksha Prajapati, because he could not see from Narad Muni's point of view, in fact Krishna's point of view, that there is a higher service to render, my duty, I have done it, so let Narad Muni perform his duty, he was not able to understand this principle. Therefore, a pure devotee of the Lord, today according to our Vaishnava calendar, is Deepavali. Of course, everybody else celebrated yesterday. And very beautifully Prabhupada writes, when Mother Yashoda was churning the milk, yogurt to convert into butter, and she was singing the glories of the Lord as compiled by the covered damsels of Vrindavan, and Krishna was in the other room, so naturally her separation was becoming more and more intense. She was glorifying the Lord's activities, and suddenly Krishna came there. He came and he stopped the churning rod and he grabbed the sari of Mother Yashoda and he forced her that, I want to drink your breast milk. So naturally Mother Yashoda stopped churning the yogurt. She gave the preference to satisfy Krishna and started breastfeeding the Lord. And then while feeding milk to Krishna, she saw in her kitchen the milk which was meant for Krishna's pleasure was boiling and overflowing. Impulsively, in a reactive way, she dropped Krishna down and she ran inside to stop the milk from flowing. And Prabhupada writes very brilliantly, very, very sweet purport. He says, Krishna gives the intelligence to a devotee, loving devotee of the Lord, to know what is first and what is second. It was impulsive for Mother Yashoda. She did not have to use her intelligence. She did not use her mind. She did not have to use her senses. Her heart, because connected to Krishna, she recognized this is more important than feeding milk to Krishna. She dropped him. There was no thought process. She just dropped Krishna, ran inside. She stopped the milk from overflowing. And Krishna became very angry. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, he continues in the purport that the Lord gives that intelligence what one should do first and what one should do second. What should be given importance. As unfortunately Daksha Prajapati failed to recognize this is the first service. What is it? Delivering the conditioned soul. The purpose of material creation is not to procreate. The purpose of material creation, the purpose of all the living entities to come here, is to give them the chance to go back to the spiritual world. So he gave importance to the secondary service. And those who are rendering primary service, he dared to curse. That was not very nice on the part of Daksha Prajapati. But here Mother Yashoda, being a loving devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, instantly, you know, she put Krishna down, ran inside, stopped the milk from flowing, and she came back. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Prabhupada writes, Arjuna's confusion. It is one thing to be confused. If you are confused, there is a chance. But if you conclude that you are right, that is the wrong thing. Therefore, when Arjuna was giving all his arguments about why he should not fight, he had concluded. He concluded that dharma to be adharma and adharma to be dharma. He was defeating all the arguments of Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when Arjuna was speaking, Krishna was only hearing. Why? Because Arjuna was presenting his conclusion. He was giving many reasons why he should not fight. But that conclusion, fortunately for Arjuna, rather than giving clear vision, that conclusion of Arjuna caused more confusion. It caused lamentation to Arjuna. And therefore, at one point of time, Arjuna raised his hands. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava prachamitvam dharma sammuda cheta. And again, Prabhupada writes, that material world is so designed, the natural system of this world is that it will create perplexities. Perplexities means what? The conflict. This is right or this is wrong. Should I do this one or should I do that one? He said that is a natural system. It's an inbuilt system in this material world where we are put in this kind of confusion. Even something which appear to be very straight and right one, just because it is easy to do, doesn't mean that it is right. So therefore, Arjuna's confusion was causing great lamentation to Arjuna. And at that point of time, he surrendered to the Supreme Lord. He took the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And then Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he said, you go and fight. He said, I can't teach you. You know, you go to Vyasdev, he can tell you. Or you just fight and conquer the three worlds, all your lamentation will be destroyed. But Arjuna said, no, this will not destroy. Three worlds will not destroy the lamentation. Only you can save me from this difficulty. Let me get clear picture about what I am supposed to do. And again, Srila Prabhupada explains that one who becomes Krishna conscious, we were discussing this recently. One time, Loknath Maharaj asked this question to Srila Prabhupada about certain service he wanted to render to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, rather than giving the whole detail, he said, Tesham satato yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enumam upayant. He said, you just constantly think of Krishna, and that constant thinking of Krishna will give you the intelligence to make a right decision. And in that purport, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes, one may be connected to the institution of spiritual organization. One may have the spiritual master, but still one may lack that intelligence to make a decision. But such a person is sincere in rendering devotional service to the Lord, then Krishna gives him the intelligence how to come to the Supreme Lord. And that is the difference between a devotee and an ordinary spiritualist. We see again in the first canto, when Arjuna, when he saw, the Pandava saw that Ashwatthama had killed all the sons of the Pandavas. Naturally, Draupadi being Kshatrani, the Kshatriya woman, her Kshatriya nature came out. The circumstance caused her anger. And Arjuna promised her, he said, don't worry, I'll bring this aggressor. I'll bring his head to you. And then you'll be satisfied. Lord and Arjuna chased Ashwatthama. They bring him back to the place But when Ashwatthama is brought, he is bound like an animal. Arjuna is ready to kill him. Krishna is asking Arjuna to kill him. But then some other Draupadi, she started contemplating on Ashwatthama's mother. She realized that Ashwatthama is the only son, and she knew the pain of losing all her sons. And then she said, now you don't do anything to him. Let him go. Because, and she gave many examples that you have been trained by your guru, and I understand her difficulties, so you don't punish him. Yudhishthira Maharaj agreed to that. Nakula Sahadev agreed. Only Bhima did not agree. He said, no, you have to kill him. No chance. He cannot survive. He has done such a heinous activity, he should be destroyed. And Prabhupada writes, it's a very difficult to, you know, follow the contradictory instructions. You have two authorities. And these two authorities, you know, you respect them. And they are giving you contradictory instruction, exactly opposite. How will you follow that? So Arjuna had this dilemma. Bhima is saying in one hand that you immediately kill him. Draupadi, Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying don't kill him. And Krishna is acting as an observer. He is not giving anything. But because Arjuna is the devotee of the Lord, he applied his intelligence and took a right decision in dealing with Ashwatthama. And he pleased Draupadi and he also pleased Bhima. Again, we see in the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Amrish Maharaj, again the technicalities were involved. Of should I break the fast or should I not break? Because Durvas Muni came there, he had gone to take bath, he was supposed to come and honor Prasad. But he was delaying, the Dwadasha Vrat was getting over, and Amrish Maharaj had the dilemma. Because it is a question of dilemma of etiquette, rather than, you know, trying to take shelter of Krishna here, he took the shelter of the Brahmanas. Again, sometimes we have devotees around us who can guide us. Simple instructions they can give and help us. But we expect, no, Krishna should directly guide me in this regard. Rather than doing that, here Amrish Maharaj, of course he was always taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. But here it was a simple problem, and this Brahmana could deal with this. He asked them, what should I do now? The Ekadashi Vrat, the Dwadashi Vrat is getting over. And the Brahmana said, if you drink water, it is as good as not eating. Simple instruction he gave, they gave. He drank the water and he waited for Durvas to come. Durvas Muni came, and because of his false ego of not being given respect, of course he was given unlimited respect, but he thought that Amrish is insulting him. And he lost discrimination. He could not understand the principle of the Shastra. And he became so angry to the extent he wanted to kill Amrish Maharaj. Just see, simple offense. He went to such an extent, and he was convinced that Amrish Maharaj is wrong. So when the false ego is involved, the discrimination is lost. The connection with Paramatma is lost. And then when Durvas released this demon, which is nothing but his false ego to destroy Amrish Maharaj, what did Amrish Maharaj do? Then he did not consult the Brahmanas. What should I do now? Spontaneously, he took the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, we see in the 10th canto of the Bhagavad, the Vipras, the Brahmanas, they are performing this Vrata. And it was, Vrata went for, you know, doing for 1 month, Yajna. And then Krishna and Balaram were in the forest. And all the friends of Krishna became very hungry. They said, you know, this demon of, you know, hunger is causing trouble to us. What should we do? And Krishna, recognizing the devotion of the wives of the Brahmanas, he sent all the boys to the Brahmana. He said, you go there and beg from them in the name of Lord Balaram. And the acharyas explain, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, and even the, you know, the acharyas from Sri Sampradaya, you know, who are very elaborate on making plans about yajnas, they say, when the covered boys came to this Brahmanas, the yajna, the laws of the yajnas are, after certain point, when the yajna is conducted, if somebody comes to you asking for food, apparently it may not be offered to the Lord, the laws of the yajna mention that you can give that food to those who come and ask for you. And these brahmanas are very expert in yajnas. They know all the laws of the yajna. But when the brahmana boys came there asking food for Krishna and Balaram, just see, even the basic knowledge of the yajna were lost. They said, you are coming here and disturbing our yajna, causing contamination. You the sons of the Vaishyas. They blaspheme the Krishna's friends. And Krishna's friends became very despondent. They came back to Krishna, empty-handed. He said, just see, they did not offer us. And Krishna, being very philosophical, he said, you know, in begging, these sorts of things happen. Every time the beggar does not get, you know, whatever he desires. He said, you go to the wives of the brahmanas. So Krishna's friends, when they ran towards the brahmanas' wives, now the brahmanas' wife did not know all the injunctions of the Vedas. They were cooking all the items. But because they were devoted to Krishna, so when they did that act of giving this food to Krishna, which was supposed to be used in yajna, one may say there was some mistake on the part of the brahmanis, because the yajna, it was not offered in yajna. This rule they did not know. But because they know Krishna and they wanted to serve Krishna, they did not break the lower rules also. But on the other hand, the brahmanas, they were so conscious of the rules, but they forgot to recognize even the lower rules. Why? Because they forgot Krishna. And the Supreme Lord was so satisfied with these brahmanis. And the brahmanas eventually became so upset on themselves that we are such useless people. All our yajna was meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But what is the use? That we lost the chance to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hell with all our yajnas. They were condemning themselves. So therefore we see that one who renders devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like one time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was inaugurating a temple. And when the temple inauguration was going on, the temple president, you know, he saw that the time was running, and he had some misunderstanding. He got the message from somebody that Prabhupada is not doing the first aarti. Usually the spiritual master will do the first aarti when the temple is inaugurated, deities are installed. So Bhaktisiddhanta was preparing to come and offer the aarti. But the temple president got a misunderstanding, and he called one of the senior god brothers. He said, you come, you offer the aarti. And the god brother said, but Guru Maharaj will come. He said, no, he's not coming, you offer the aarti. So when the god brother was offering the aarti, in the middle of the aarti, Bhaktisiddhanta came to offer the aarti. And then he saw that the disciple is offering the aarti. The aarti was over, and the whole incident came to know to this devotee was offering the aarti. He became so much full of guilt. He said, what did I do today? He said, this is such an important event. You know, the spiritual master is supposed to offer first aarti. The Lord will be most satisfied with pure devotee of the Lord, but I have done this wrong. I have done such a mistake. He could not go to his guru. He could not go to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to beg his forgiveness, because he was feeling very much guilty. He sent one of his god brother. He said, you go and beg on my behalf. When this devotee went to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Saddanta Saraswati Thakur explained very beautifully. He said, one who is rendering service to Krishna, there is no chance of he committing any offense at any time. But on the other hand, one who is not engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at every step, he is committing mistake. And this devotee became very satisfied. He said, this is very superficial mistake. But the intention is to render devotional service. Therefore, a devotee can never commit a mistake. He made a very blanket statement. On the other hand, non-devotee, apparently he may have all the knowledge through his intelligence, through his mind, this is right, this is wrong, but still is wrong. Why? Because he is not pleasing the Supreme Lord. So anything which is pleasing to the Supreme Lord, apparently there may be wrong, but that is very satisfying to the Lord. In the battle of the Mahabharata, in the concluding fight with Bhima and Duryodhan, it's a very nice scene, because Yudhishthira Maharaj gave this challenge. He said, if you defeat any one of us, you get back your kingdom. The Lord looked at Yudhishthira and said, what kind of offer you are giving? I tried so hard to stop this rascal. Now you're making him very easy. He said, he's very strong. He can fight. If he asks Nakula, you lose the battle. Of course, Duryodhan being a Kshatriya, he still had that Kshatriya qualities. He asked for the equal match. He said, I'll fight with Bhima. Bhima was very powerful, but Duryodhan was very expert in fighting, especially the maze fighting. The fighting was going on for a long time, and ultimately Krishna signaled Arjun, showing his thighs, and Arjuna realized it, and he showed that to Bhima, and Balram is watching. Balram is always like a neutral party, never took the side of the Pandavas. In fact, he would sometimes criticize the Pandavas also. He is watching, and you can't play around with Balram. All the demigods are watching, all the sages are watching this battle. And suddenly, when Duryodhan, didn't expect, Bhima took his mace and smashed at the thighs of Duryodhan, and Duryodhan immediately fell down. And this angered Balram greatly. He started condemning Bhima. He was about to kill Bhima. In fact, some versions, they say that when Duryodhan was thrown, he had fought so nicely, some of the demigods, they showered flowers on Duryodhan. Just see, demigods also, rather than seeing the whole background, they are only seeing this fight. How Duryodhan was fighting nicely. They showered flowers. So from every point of view, everybody is displeased with the Pandavas. Even Balaram. But Krishna was completely satisfied. In fact, Krishna assures the Pandavas, whatever you have done the right thing. And then again, the acharyas explain that even the great demigods made a mistake. According to the law of battle, mace fighting, as long as the warrior is on the ground, you are not supposed to hurl mace on the thighs. But when it is in the air, you can hurl the mace. So even Balram forgot about this. So even while doing so-called wrong, because it was pleasing to the Supreme Personality of God, at the other inferior laws, they get adjusted. They make everything favorable for the devotee. So therefore, Daksha Prajapati had to learn his lesson that even the Supreme Personality of Godhead was very pleased with him for one kind of service which was inferior in nature, but he considered that to be most important service. And because of that, his connection with Paramatma got lost. The communication got lost. So Narad Muni came. It's a very nice pastime. Daksha Prajapati curses Narad Muni. And he condemned Narad Muni. And again the Shastra explained. Now what Daksha Prajapati says to Narad Muni, he said, unless one is experienced in material life, how he will develop renunciation? One has to go through, Brahmacharya life, Grihastha life, Vanaprastha life, Sannyasa life. Now they have to go through Grihastha life, then they will take Sannyas. He said, what you have done is completely wrong. It's against the scripture. Like, during our youth festival, it's a nice story. One devotee was mentioning this story, that one young man joined the ashram, and his parents, naturally, they came, becoming very angry with the devotee. What is this? He's young, inexperienced. This is not the time to practice devotional service. The elderly father was saying this. He said, this is not the right time. He should be doing all his responsibility. And this devotee was very intelligent. He said, okay, he will go and you stay back in the temple. You say that this is not the right time to practice devotional service. I think it is right time for you to practice full-time devotional service. So let him go and you stay back. And he did not speak anything. So therefore, it may be nice to speak this philosophy. And again, it is wrong also. Because This question was raised by Shukadeva Goswami to Janak Maharaj in the Mahabharata. There is a discussion between Janak and Shukadeva Goswami. Who is Shukadeva Goswami? He is the greatest of the renunciates. And Janak Maharaj is the grahastha. But Vyasadeva sent him, you go to Janak Maharaj. And he knows all the essence of the Shastra. He can enlighten you about the Shastra. So when Shukadeva Goswami came and he told, Vyasadeva told Shukadeva Goswami, when you go to Janak Maharaj, do not go as a great sage. Don't utilize your power. If you go with all of your power, then you lack humility. Then you will not be able to understand the knowledge. He said, you walk the distance. Mahabharata explained that Shukadeva Goswami had the power. In one jump he could reach Janak Maharaj's palace. But he said, no, you go through all the austerities. As the regular practitioner goes. So when you go through that regular austerities, then your heart will be very fertile to receive the knowledge. So Shukadeva Goswami walks and he comes to the palace gate. And the guards, they stop him. They in fact ridicule him. They insult him. But he stops there. He waits for 7 days. And the next gate, again more days he has to wait. In this way, different kinds of temptations are offered to Shukadeva Goswami. But he continues, ultimately comes to Janak Maharaj. And he raised this question. That is it that one has to go through all these ashramas to attain perfection? Or one can directly go? Again, here Daksha Prajapati's mistake we are trying to know. And then Janak Maharaj said, no. He said, if you are situated in devotional service, if you are situated in the highest path of dharma, then you don't need to go through all the ashram. You can directly practice devotional service. And from the first ashram only, you can attain perfection. Therefore, the conclusion is, that one who is practicing devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with sincere heart, then Krishna gives them the intelligence. If they have to use their heart like Mother Yashoda, impulsive, that is also right. If they have to use their intelligence like Amrish Maharaj had to use through the Brahmanas, because he is performing devotional service, the intelligence will also not fail. And if one has to apply the mind, should I accept or reject? Because the mind is also engaged in Krishna's service, the mind will also not fail. And ultimately the senses which are the most gross, even the senses will be engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like on the battlefield, most of the time, rather than using your intelligence, you have to use your senses in shooting the arrows. The eye has to be focused on the enemy. The hand should be dexterous shooting the arrows. So in all cases, either you have to use your intelligence, you have to use your mind, you have to use your senses, or you have to use your heart. All of those things are focused in Krishna and one will not make any mistake. That is the power of Bhakti Yoga. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
You mentioned that when you perform devotional service, there is no fault. External, it might be appear a fault. So how do we, there are many instances, but one instance, for example, like Rupa Goswami laughing and the sage getting insulted. Now he was performing very deep devotional service in meditating upon the Leelas of Radha and Krishna, and he was laughing. So, but and he had to really go through the, like he lost the connection. So how do we understand? Because many times we also perform and our intentions are very, very good. But it is said that, but if we offend a Vaishnav, then we are definitely going to be, have to really face the consequences. So how do we really understand this this situation?
Yeah, therefore, again, this is another point of view. This one story what we discussed about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that talks about the power of devotional service. And the Rupa Goswami story speaks about the sensitivity in dealing with people. Again, same, Daksha principle only. When we are engaged in devotional service, especially in the association of devotees, in the community. When you are individually performing your devotional service, which does not bother anybody, whatever you do, as long as you have a sincere heart and Krishna thinks that you have a sincere heart, then even if there is a mistake, it is not counted. But when we render devotional service in the association of devotees, then one has to be careful. One has to see from different point of view that if my devotional service is causing trouble to greater number of devotees, there is something wrong. If the greater number of devotees are dissatisfied with my devotional service, then I have to, you know, immediately change. We are sometime, even in our society, Prabhupada allowed democracy. So when you see that, when you recognize that great number of devotees are dissatisfied, rather than we saying, you know, people are grouped up against me doing politics, that is the greatest ignorance on the part of a devotee, one who feels like that. That sab log mere against hai. So therefore, very simple, that if the greater number of devotees are not happy with certain service what I am rendering, I should change. And then devotees come and tell also, Prabhu, you know, this is what happening, be careful with this. That is Paramatma speaking. No, I am taking shelter of Krishna. No, again, same thing. For this thing, you don't need to. Devotees are, you know, Krishna is represented by the devotees. Like in the case of Yudhishthira Maharaj, when Duryodhana was so organized, he was a great politician, he sent Durvasmuni exactly after Draupadi had eaten. So then you cannot make a, you know, you can't have a sabha, discuss what should we do now. Every Pandava had to take shelter of the Lord. Intense shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. So there are certain situations where you are forced to take intense shelter of the Lord, and there are most of the time in our level, because our devotional service survives, or we practice devotional service only if you are surrounded by devotees. So this same devotees who are representative of Krishna, if they are dissatisfied with our devotional service, it is not wrong on their part, rather it is wrong on our part. So we have to adjust. So therefore this principle of Rupa Goswami being offended by this sadhu, it can make us understand how sensitive the whole path is. You know, sometime, you know, people feel, okay, you know, this devotee is against me. Yesterday we were discussing one case. You know, and when we hear only one side of the story, and it is like you are convinced, yeah, what he's saying, right. Unless we hear the second side of the story, it's very risky. Like one devotee was discussing, and just few days back, this devotee told his side of the story, and I don't know anything about the whole thing. I'm just hearing from him, and apparently it appeared that, you know, whatever he was telling, and he was also innocent. He was not making up the story. The events were factual, but the perception of the event were completely wrong. The perception of the events were completely wrong. For example, you know, there was a, I'll give the example, that this devotee, you know, some people perceived, and he was representing one who told me just few days back, on the name of the initiation list, you know, the signature was of some other person, means other than that counselor, that particular counselor, there was a signature of another devotee. And now the fact is there, just see, you know, the signature has to be of this devotee, but his signature is not there, but somebody else's signature is there. What does it indicate? The paper shows that the person who is supposed to have his signature is not there, somebody else's signature is there. When you see that, you recognize that he is trying to dominate over this other counselor. He is acting too smart. And those subordinate, they also say, what is this and how can I do deal like this? This devotee is giving so much of time. How can he put his signature? So when we have heard the story, the paper is there, how do you judge? Yes, this other devotee, other counselor is, you know, dominating this counselor. So when we talked, okay, Prabhuji, what is the explanation? He said, simple explanation. He said, you find I don't sign in any of the papers, but this devotee never there in the meeting when we have counselors meeting here. So when the board asks him, you know, do you recommend him? The counselor is not there. The recommendation will not be taken. So I am just being acting as his representative. I also know them. So when they ask, I know all these people. He said, with that practical purpose, I signed rather than he signing. Such a simple problem, but you condemn this devotee. No? The events are factual, but the perception, you know, so risky. So therefore, and every time there will be certain situation in our life where we have to deal, or we do ourselves, and we tell others, and those who hear it, one-sided story, such a dangerous thing. Never, and we, unfortunately, we make immediate judgment rather than hearing the second side of the story also. So if we don't know the second side of the story, we should just shut our mouth, you know, hopefully, and not react. Rather, use our intelligence. That shows that we lack remembrance of the Supreme Personality of God. It's an amazing, you know, a lesson that factually it shows, proves, just see, here is the injustice, domination of this person. But from another point of view, see, hear from his side of the story, completely different. Many times this happens. Another problem with the subordinates, we discuss this. That they go and complain to another authority, mere saath mein aisa isne kiya. And then you go and ask, you tell to somebody else, you know, this authority is playing around with him, he's dominating, therefore he came and told me. If you go and ask those who complain, they say, no, I'm okay with this authority. Not that they're purposefully doing, but, you know, some other, because of that kind of behavior, you find the authorities fighting with each other. So therefore, you know, it's a very important that at our level we have to use our intelligence, not our heart. Because we are not raga bhaktas. When we become raganuga bhaktas, then we can use our heart. At sadhana bhakti level, the intelligence has to be applied, not the heart. When the heart is applied, then the tears come from the eyes. Everybody's. So this is a lesson we learn. Yes.
Prabhuji, you mentioned that, you know, if there is a disturbance to devotees, then one has to obviously, take a look at what he's doing. What about, because many times, whether family, friends, business, it causes disturbance to non-devotees. So there, you know, the line is, I don't know, broad or thin, because you are disturbing, but then there is going to be disturbance because you're not following what the norm is. But then by doing maybe too much, you're preventing them, you appear fanatic. So how does one decide that line?
So therefore, if you have an occupational duty to perform, and occupational duty involves, you know, not compromising with the principle of devotional service, but, you know, working on a practical level. Like yesterday, one devotee was saying that he was given some service, and suddenly some event occurred in his house, his father passed away. And then, you know, from a scriptural point of view, all devotees told, you know, you can come to the temple, no problem. The Shastras allow us to come. He said, I had no problem with that. I knew, I believed it. But then I had to do certain practical things. So devotees may judge, you know, he's not still following the pure devotional principle. He's not coming to the temple because his father is dead, and then all the ritualistic smartha. No, he may be not coming to the temple not because of this reason, because he had to deal with certain practicalities. So, you know, so therefore, as long as following the non-devotee authorities does not compromise our principle of devotional service, and at the same time, you know, does not minimize our devotional service, there is no harm. But if it is compromising, just like one time during 31st December, we went for Harinam. And then, the tendency is, because we are devotees, we can break all the laws. It is already there to break all the laws. We need some kind of excuse why we should break. The tendency to rebel against the laws of God is always there. So we need something. So we saw, you know, when the traffic lights are on, you know, we have a policy when we all go for the Harinam, Brahmacharis. We follow the traffic rules also. Even if there is vehicles are not going, you know, see the signal, stop and proceed. That gives a good impression among the people. But there was a big group, you know, we had not established the norms. The signals were there, the traffics were running, the cars were running back and forth. And devotees immediately jumped right in the middle of the road, stopping all the traffic. So the point is, we have the tendencies to break the laws in the name of Krishna, even though it may not be connected to Krishna consciousness. So one has to be careful. Therefore, the moral laws, you know, they are also has to be practiced while living in the world. Just like when we make rules in the temple, in the yatras we have to make rules, in the temple we have to make rules. Those rules may not have nothing to do with your individual devotional service. By following them, you will not attain love of God. By not following them, you create some kind of confusion. So just to avoid that confusion, you know, the laws are made. They have nothing to do with devotional service. Just to, you know, make certain situations most practical and easy to work with. But then, you know, when somebody, the authorities establish and devotees are still not wanted, they don't want to follow it, then they talk Vaishnava etiquette. You know, you are dealing wrongly with a senior Vaishnava. I am senior. If you are senior, then you, why don't you practice these common sense laws, which will create some kind of, you know, practical situation. So therefore, mixing up things, that is the greatest danger for a devotee. Giving importance to something which is not important. Therefore, you know, I like this point that Krishna is supposed to be loved. Bhakti means loving Krishna. Now, the principles of devotional service cannot be applied in knowing the soul. You can't say, I love my soul. No, you can't perform devotional service to the soul. Then you have to knowledge of the soul. You understand what is this soul, how I'm different from the body. And then detachment. Detachment is also very much required. It's helpful for advancing in spiritual life. Detachment from family, friends and relatives. One has to develop that also, slowly, slowly, as one progresses. So when these three principles are applied carefully, then the Lord gives the intelligence, right intelligence. As we are progressing in devotional service, naturally our attention for the body minimizes. The requirement of the body minimizes. You know, by practicing devotional service, we are still spending so much of time in, you know, dealing with this body on a mundane platform. There is something wrong then. Our life is not becoming more simpler. You know, we are not minimizing to decorate this. You know, we hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song is simply to sing, not to practice. So these three principles, when they are practiced systematically, then at one point of time we can come to the level of Mother Yashoda. No intelligence, no mind, the heart was used. Dropped Krishna there. Even though Krishna was angry, but that anger created a fantastic pastime of Damodar Leela. So I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.